Blog Talk Radio.
Again, Sunday night, time for Sports Live. This is the dominant section. I'm your host, Marlon Ray. Of course, I got my man, Mr. Lou Jones.
Yes, yes, yes.
Lou, man, so much controversy, some Trivial Pursuit going on in the NBA. Some series that I could have sworn was going to be over, and the other ones are actually over, and I actually finished. Paying close attention to what's going on and what's transpiring. Finally, we'll get into some of these matchups. First, I'd like to start off with the matchup with the Bulls and the Bucks. See, this is my complaint. And yeah, I always go here, Marlon is tough on Derrick Rose. And I'm going to tell you why. Because there are certain athletes that have a certain degree of talent and ability, and you cannot put them in the same class as you would put in a person who was just an average player. Great players are set up and put in their own separate category. You know, these are the players that play above the fray and are above everybody else within their class. So naturally, you have to hold those players to a separate and a higher standard. So I believe there's about maybe 10 to 12 players in the NBA that you have to do this with. Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Derrick Rose, Kobe Bryant. I mean, keep going. Tony Parker, Tim Duncan, those guys are older guys, so I wouldn't necessarily put them in the category because they're not at the top of their game at this time in the prime. But I would say James Harden, Steph Curry, those guys are the new generation greatness, or people that display greatness. And so it's only right that we come to an understanding that they should be, in fact, held to a certain standard of level. Now, when me and Lou, let's be honest, Lou, when we were coming up, we had some great players in our generation. And in my opinion, I think they were the best. I mean, if you look at the top 50, I think you would see a good portion of that top 50 coming from the era of basketball where we watch. And, of course, that's a decided advantage because as we get older, these newer guys are going to have their place on that list as well. But we watched the game closely. And before we even came on there, we was talking about how fundamentals are and why coaches or newer coaches or organizations don't call specific plays during key moments of the game. But I'm going to get to that part in a second. But Lou, this is the point that I make. You look at Derrick Rose, and you look at some of the stars that we've seen. What made them great was the fact that they were able to come through in what we call the clutch, right? Now, they've adopted a term as of the past 4 or 5 years to maybe even a decade of what we call the clutch gene, right? We know what genes are. Genes are traits that are passed on from one parent or one generation to the next generation. That's what a gene is. And, of course, now we're talking about having the ability to come through in key moments, which we define as clutch, right? So there goes the phrase clutch gene. And your superstars and your great players have this ability or have this gene or this trait, which we call clutchness. They come through in key moments of the game. They make key shots. They make key plays that determine the outcomes of game. This is why they are considered to be greater than everybody else, because everybody does not have this same ability. Now, is it possible for average players to have what we call a clutch gene? Yes, it is. There are some players in the league that can hit big shots and not necessarily be a superstar. What's the guy over there for the New Jersey Nets, or the Brooklyn Nets, I should say, Lou, that that can hit clutch. And what's his name? Johnson? Is it Joe Johnson?
Yeah.
Or what's the guy's
Joe
name?
Joe Johnson.
Joe Johnson is a perfect example, right? Not really a superstar, but when it comes to hitting big shots, he's money, right? Who else used to be like that? The all-time, one of the greatest clutch players that was not a superstar, played on three separate teams, Robert Ori, right? big time game clutch shooter, clutch gene. When it came down to it, if everybody else was covered, don't leave this guy open. He's going to kill you. When the moment is there, he punches you right in the chest and the stomach. Now, the thing is that the superstars of our time all have this trait. Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas, who else, Lou?
Charles Barkley. Clyde Drexler.
Even Patrick Ewing. Although Ewing made the big time, but not really. I mean, Reggie Miller, big time clutch player. These are superstars that they were superstars based off the merit of what they did during the course of the game, especially in the last 5 minutes of the game. Extremely influential to the outcome of what was going on. And I bring that up because in Derrick Rose's case, in my opinion, he chokes more than he succeeds. He just does. Now, I watched the Milwaukee Bucks game yesterday. I said, you know what, let me just give this guy a chance. He's coming off injury. I test his heart and his will, but he's been playing somewhat decent. In my opinion, actually, Butler has been playing markedly better. But I know game three, he looked a little bit better, like he was starting to come into his own. So I said, okay, let me take a good look at what's going on. And I'm watching that game. That game is sloppy, and I see why. Let me tell you something. If anybody should win Coach of the Year every year, it should be Tom Thibodeau. Because, man, they just was just willing to just give the ball up. Every time they got it, they try to throw it away. That mirror tick, I don't know what was going on with him, but he kept – he made like three turnovers right in a row, back-to-back-to-back turnovers. That's what I saw from him. Vastly disappointed by what he was displaying for me. I was greatly embarrassed being a Bulls fan. But nevertheless, they managed to keep it going. Butler hit key shots. I'd have to say Pau Gasol hit key shots. And the game drew closer, and they tied the game. It was 90-90. And the Bulls have the ball. They're driving down the lane. Now, who has the ball? You would suspect that your best player would have the ball because in clutch situations, that's who's going to take advantage of the moment, right? What does this guy Derrick Rose do? He just turns the ball over. He triples. I don't know what he was thinking. If he would have looked at the corner.
Yeah, 8 turnovers for the night.
It's like, bro, I mean, come on now. You can have all the Rose apologists in the world all you want. This guy has really just demonstrated to me a lack of superstardom. He has superstar ability and talent. He does not have a superstar mentality. I'm sorry, and I'm going to say it. He comes small in big moments. Big moments, big series, big anything that he needs to show his dominance and prove that he's that guy. He shrinks, and he's been shrinking even before he got injured. I remember those, Miami Heat teams. Yeah, they was only losing by a couple of points in each game. Nevertheless, you had the best record in the NBA. You had home field advantage. You should have made it more of a challenge. They got beaten 5 games. As a matter of fact, the Bulls, in my estimation, played better without Rose against the same Miami Heat team than with him on the court. But nevertheless, they're up 3-1, and I'm not going to sit here and make it out to be like they can't win or close out this series. But this is the very reason why I did not pick or choose them to be the team coming out of the Eastern Conference or even a challenge for. I already said, had they played or faced off against the Washington Wizards, they would have been eliminated. I've watched them. It's been sloppy play against the Bucks. They've just been fortunate to come out victorious in some of these games. And yeah, they're up 3-1. But, I mean, you look at some of the scores and how the games went, it could win either way. Go ahead, Lou. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, and also they could easily, this series could easily be in more of Milwaukee's favor if, you know, O.J. Mayo hasn't been struggling all season. Because O.J. Mayo has been playing like himself pretty much all season long with this team. But tonight he came through with 18 points. The only other thing about it, they still would have ended up losing because Antetokounmpo, he didn't have a good night himself as well. So when you have those two rolling together, it's pretty much going to be a done deal. It's tough to beat this team. It's already tough to handle them with the length Antetokounmpo has, as well as Milton and Carter Williams. And then when you add in O.J. Mayo stepping up and scoring at least like 15 to 18 points a game in the series, yeah, it's going to be a handful of them. But you can't break down towards the end of the game in a situation like that, especially on a weird play that last play was.
Yeah, you can't. And really, the whole starting lineup of the Bulls, man, they had 26 turnovers. I started out the lineup. Miritich, the little bit of time that he did come in, turned the ball over three times. Like, you can't win like that. I'm also wondering why Taj Gibson is not getting enough playing time. I think he needs to come in a little bit more to put a little bit of defense.
He comes off the bench. No, he comes off the bench for him. He gets like 24 minutes in that game.
Yeah, he needs. I would like to see him with like 30. I'm not gonna lie. Butler really is the guy on this team. It's not Rose. Listen, Rose is. People are living off of what he displayed and thinking that he's great. But in my position and in my humblest opinion, I would say that, you know, Butler has evolved into a better player right now. And, yeah, are you crazy? It's Rose. Yeah, I know who it is. And I've watched this playoff series, and Butler has outplayed him. As a matter of fact, Butler has outplayed Rose this whole season. He has. Let's not fool ourselves because we like his name and we're looking at highlights. We're looking at potential of what could have been and what should have been. But all I know is down the stretch, this guy choked. He choked. He didn't look good doing it, so he struggled too. He had five turnovers. So, I can't even say that. But, you know, Mike Dunleavy on the court. I don't know, man. All I know is that last play of the game, even if Rose would have just passed the ball over, he was drawing attention. If he would just look to his right side, Kurt Hyrum was wide open for the three. Could have had opportunity to just ice the game. But, no, he's trying to prove that he's back and that he's dedicated. And in doing so, he turned the ball over. And, of course, Milwaukee turns around, and they make the game-winning shot. All right? I mean,
Jared Bayless.
Yeah. How do you like that? 30% for the whole game. In the one game or the one shot he made. And that was basically the assignment was Derrick Rose. That was his guy that got open. That even makes it worse, right? He was the one beat to the basket on that play.
Yes, he was. So,
you know.
And Jared Bayless, he's a decent player. He's a good player, but he's not somebody that I would rely on to make a last-second play.
No.
You know, O.J. Mayo, yes. Jared Dudley, yes. But not Bayless. But they actually work in their favor with the wonky inbound play that they ran, and it actually worked.
Can you imagine this Milwaukee team? What's his name? Gets off injury. The one that just came out of draft from Duke. What's his name, Luke? I can't see. My mind is tripping.
But, now, when you talk about
what's his
name? Jabari
Parker. That's his name.
If he was even playing this season, it would have been a wrap.
Bro, we would be down three games to one.
If he was playing,
if
and Yeah, if he was playing, and if Larry Sanders, the other big, the other long big man that they had, didn't, you know, retire from playing, it would have been over. We wouldn't even talk about Chicago. We would be talking about how far Milwaukee could go.
Yeah, that's the truth. I mean, you look at these games: 103-91, 91-82, 113-106 overtime, and then here they lost 92-90. I mean, each one of these games were like within reach. If you watch those games, they basically were decided within the final 10 minutes of the game, all four.
Yep.
So it's, you mean Jabari Parker with his points added, it wouldn't make it difficult? I believe the series would be flipped. So,
yeah,
I'm very pointing in that. Moving forward from them, because I just pretty much made my point with Rose. Rose is just not clutch, and I don't like necessarily what I see from him. So, going into the other games, look at some of the sweeps that went on. Golden State sweeps New Orleans, and in the midst of that sweep, I mean, we know Anthony Davis just scored 36-plus points, but, you know, he scored 36 points, struggled really towards the end, especially defensively. I don't know what happened. Couldn't hit shots. He struggled in fourth quarters of the past couple of games against Golden State. Kind of choked. And that's really, I don't expect him to be that. I'm going to give him a pass because he's pretty young. And regardless of that, he's really was pretty unstoppable, pretty strong in that series. But, I mean, Golden State, Steph Curry, man. Well, I mean, what do we need to even say, right? Like, I think he's basically proven who he is. He's definitely, you know, the MVP this season. I'd have to give it to him, even over Harden. I could even see a situation where they could share the responsibility, you know. But I tell you, I don't know, Lou. I mean, what you think? I mean, it's quite.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a co-MVP situation this year. It's close, but I think really they could make the decision now, but the way that both teams are playing, I think they're actually going to wait a little longer till they make their final ruling on who the MVP is.
You know, I think it's going to go to Curry. It's a close match, and it's very tight. Thing is, they're going to look at the overall team record. And, you know, with 67 victories, they're basically 10, 11 games above what Houston has. And I just don't see that. You know what I mean? It's going to result in a negative, even though, you know, Steph had a better team put around him than what Harden had. Harden basically, as you know, Dwight Howard pretty much out for the majority of the season. A lot of players were injured throughout, but Harden basically carried the torch. So it's like, man, he's going to be in the consideration, and I think he's elevated his game to superstar right now. He's no longer a star. He's a superstar right now. He's one of the, you know, top 10 players in the NBA, definitely. The beard, as we would say.
Yeah.
What's that little gesture that he does? He takes a little finger and he stirs the pot.
Cooking them up.
Cooking them up. That's actually pretty awesome. I like it, bro. I meant to say it, bring that up a couple of weeks ago, man. But that's awesome. That's a beautiful thing. There's a couple of two celebrations that I like a little bit better than that. It's two, and actually no, it's not two. It's really one. I really like that discount double check. That belt thing that Aaron Rodgers does, that is awesome. I absolutely love that situation.
Yeah.
That is a wonderful situation.
Yeah, but
you know, the Golden State went ahead and swept theirs. Brooklyn and Atlanta end up having to go to another game before they get extended. Let me tell you, Brooklyn. One thing is for certain. Let me tell you, you know what my thing with Brooklyn is? I got to say this, man. Brooke Lopez, Like, bro, I mean, he's showing up way more better than what your boy, what's his name? I can't even think of his name now. Darren Williams. He looks more impressive to me than what Darren Williams has been looking.
Was he actually expecting Darren Williams to look impressive at all?
You know what? I don't expect him to look impressive. I expect him to at least look solid. And he, Brooke Lopez has looked better in those games for what I've seen. And, it, you know, I don't know. And it's just... It's really a sad thing. He's like that guy too. He's almost that's a perfect example who Derrick Rose reminds me of. He reminds me of Darren Williams. That's what he reminds me of. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm almost to the point of where I probably would bench Williams and put in Jared Jack and let him, or maybe just put both of them on the floor. Put Jack in on the floor.
Just start Jack, because they play the same. They play the exact amount of minutes anyway, like 25, 26 minutes. So you better off starting Jack. Jack is more efficient.
I think he's more efficient. I definitely think he's more efficient. It's not even a discussion.
But even with that, they don't have a bench. Other than Jack, there's nobody else on their bench. You know, in the playoffs, they shorten the lineup, so you're running like in between to like 10 to 8 players for playoffs. You play your most efficient players, and Brooklyn just doesn't have that on their bench.
No, they don't. I think Jack's about the only one. Sometimes Allen Anderson will look okay, you know what I mean? But, I mean, it's bad, man. I know in game two, I think Darren Williams only scored like 2 points or something ridiculous. How can you be a leader scoring like that? And, you know, it's just...
Yeah, 3 points in game three.
Very. But, you know, I definitely would start. Jack,
but even regardless of Darren Williams not playing well, Brooklyn's still going to be, you know, a close team against Atlanta just based off of, you know, the way Brooke Lopez plays, because Atlanta doesn't really have the size in the middle, you know, to play against Brooke Lopez. You know?
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, let's get over there.
Advertisements, bro. Advertisements. Can't get away from it. But I'm just looking, and you know, Lopez is definitely the man. I think is it safe to say that Lopez is one of the top five big men in the game? I think so.
Yeah.
At this particular point right now, I'd say so. At the center position, shoot, he's balling. Ever since he came back from injury, he's been somewhat of a dish. He's been a force. I'm looking at this other guy. Who is this Bohan? Is this Bohan Bogdanovic?
Yeah.
Like, he had a big game against the Hawks last weekend, and he looked somewhat impressive. He had 19 points between Thaddeus Young, which is, you know, him, Young, Joe Johnson, of course, and Lopez. That's your three. I mean, Darren Williams, once again, 3 points. Like, come on, man. Dude shot 1 for 8. He's terrible. He's just terrible.
Yeah.
He is not. And he's another guy with superstar talent. That's Derrick Rose in the future. Y'all get used to it. That's what I basically see. So, I mean, if I'm wrong, it'll prove itself. But I don't think I'm wrong. And what is this thing? I'm seeing this little headline here. Smart apologized to Celtics after oversleep. Well, he was late for practice or something?
I never heard anything about that.
Hold on, let me read this out. Let's see what it is. Click on it. Marcus Smart, oversleeps. Jay Crowder starts for Celtics again. Oh, my goodness. Lou, how is it? This is the playoffs. How do you oversleep? You see, this is why he dropped so, you know, far down when he was coming out of Oklahoma State, because of situations like this, fighting the fans, and then now here you go right here, you oversleeping for a playoff game? Really? Come on, man. Lewis, I don't get it.
It doesn't surprise me at all. This is Marcus Smart we're talking about. And I also didn't expect to see that much from him during this series anyway, really in the playoffs anyway. I pictured him to make more mistakes than anything. And it's actually so true.
Yeah, he's just very, very disappointing. I actually thought he was holding his own. I mean, the young kid, I thought he was coming through towards the end of the season here. He looked solid, but I don't know. Ted's not in the game. And, of course, speaking of that game, of course, we saw how chippy that Cavs and Celtics game was. Cavs went ahead and completed the sweep. When they face off against the Bulls, it'll probably be sometime next week. They'll be resting up. So I don't know how long Love is going to be out. Like, dislocated shoulder. You got to imagine he's probably gone for what? Maybe that series might be able to come back the next series. Like, they'll be totally done. He might be able to come back late in this series.
A dislocated shoulder, I don't know. You could be out for the rest of the playoffs for that. It's all dependent on the severity of it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it doesn't look like it was broken. Like, he just kind of pulled it out of the slot. So if he just popped it back in and he just put some ice on it, it takes about a good couple of weeks. I think he might be able to kind of just do some, but they're probably gonna wait. And he was getting on fire, actually, against the Celtics the past couple of games. He was looking impressive. So that's gotta hurt. But so is in Love and War, of course. Smith came with a jackknife and a shoulder blade, Crowder in the chin with his elbow, and you know he's gonna be gone. So that's probably gonna bode well in the favor of the Bulls. If they get past Milwaukee.
Sprained his knee in the process of that situation. Everybody was beating up on Crowder. J.R. Smith was doing it, and before that, Perkins laid him out.
is that your Perkins that played for the Cavaliers? Defensive
Yep, that's Shaq and the fool, Kendrick Perkins.
Man, that Kendrick Perkins plays is tough. He's just chippy by nature. He's going to hurt you. I guess he's trying to make a point to Boston, huh? Make a point in Boston.
Yeah, well, that was a stupid point. So guess what? You're going to be suspended. It should be suspended.
Yeah, he's going to be suspended without question. That first game against the Wolves is going to be tough for them. The win, so I expect Chicago might take that and they'll lose the rest of them. Or maybe they won't win that one.
Yep.
But they better take advantage while they can, because I don't think Kyrie and LeBron can just handle that by themselves without any kind of issue. So we'll have to take a look at it as it moves forward. Any additional notes on that particular series, Lou? I mean, Boston's a new team, young team, and you really look at the scores. They was in every one of these games. They played them tough, and they're a young team. They just need a little bit more development and a little bit more talent. And they have a lot of draft picks available to them in the coming draft. So I expect this team to be really good. Brad Stevens is a hell of a coach. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, they did what I expected them to do. Same thing they've been doing all season, grinding out, playing hard. They just don't have enough to finish it towards the end of the game. You know, Isaiah Thomas has stepped up real big for them. And so did Jared Sullinger after coming back. And Evan Turner has been playing, didn't play well this game, but has been playing real well for them towards the end of the season and throughout this whole playoffs. So It's all going to decide on what happens in the offseason, on what moves they make. They decide to trade one of their picks for high draft picks and try to bring in free agents. That's all it's going to rely on, what's going on. Guaranteed, pretty much. I think it's safe to say about 80% of the players that's on the team now won't be back with the team probably next year. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, I think you keep your young talent, right? Keep Sullinger. I might get rid of Smart. I don't know. Trade him for something, even though he's rather young. You know, it just really rubs me the wrong way that he's oversleeping and in the playoffs. Hey, that's disappointing. Let him go. But, let's see. But that series is interesting. Golden State, of course, we mentioned them sweeping. Looks like the Washington Wizards are going to go ahead and sweep Toronto. We know why that is. Major player injured, and they're not going to be able to recover from that. Washington looks good. Paul Pierce shooting hard. That guy, man.
Gotta give him credit. That last game, game three, that was just that was classic Paul Pierce. That was classic Paul Pierce at the end. Just there's nothing you could do with that. Just nothing at all. You can't stop in the fourth quarter. You can't do nothing against that guy. And John Wall stepping up pretty much the whole game and playing great defense for them in the fourth quarter as well. Bradley Beal hitting their shots. Yeah, this team is just out of control. They're almost like a 30 point lead right now going into the fourth.
Yeah. It's not as close, man. It's going to be a wrap for that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, tonight we got the Rockets game tonight. The Spurs and the Clippers look like they tied, and I believe the Grizzlies are probably going to knock out the Blazers tonight. Play a major part in the outcome of how the series is going to turn, right? A lot of injuries to those teams, two teams specifically, Toronto and the Blazers, leading up to their series matchup. The Mavericks, basically, of course, Rondo's situation, and now Chandler Parsons and his injury. No good. So I expect those to be sweeps. But Spurs and the Clippers. We were talking about this series, and boy, it's like back and forth. It is tight game after tight game. I suspect this game going to seven games, Lou. You picked San Antonio to win. I wasn't sure, and I'm still not sure, but if I had to make a pick, I think I'll take the Clippers. I think I'll take them in seven-game series, in my opinion. And I believe the winner out of this series is going to face off against Golden State. I mean, these two teams right here are one of those two teams that are possibly either the best or the second-best team in the West. I also got to remember the Grizzlies are still alive too, right? So Grizzlies will be facing off against Golden State should they win.
Yeah.
If I'm correct. And then, of course, the winner of the Memphis series will be facing off against, you know, the Spurs and Clippers. No, not the Grizzlies, the Houston series.
Yeah.
So the Rockets and the Mavericks, it looks like it's going to be the Rockets. Looks like it's going to be pretty much over.
So. Now, you picking the Clippers, that would also mean that you expect Austin Rivers to have the game that he had today.
No, I just think that some of the guys on the San Antonio Spurs won't live up to their expectations. The whole thing is, it's like, you know, you look at this score, I'm going to look at this score. Okay, Paul Pierce. Not Paul Pierce. We're not talking about what's his name? Okay, hold on. Bear with me here. Memory. I have one of those memory downloads here that's struggling. But Chris Paul is what I meant to say. You look at what what Chris Paul is doing. He had, what, 34 points? I kind of expect that to kind of be somewhat stable. I think he's going to average anywhere between 35 to 25 points. So we're just, for the matter of saying, around maybe 27 points. I expect Blake Griffin, who's been unstoppable the whole series. I mean, I think today was his worst day facing off against them. He's going to give you about 24, 25 points. You look at what's going on with DeAndre Jordan. He's the one that kind of struggled today. Of course, free throw has always been his issue, but his dominance in the paint and his defensive effort and pressure, I don't think Kawhi Leonard can hold up a steady dominance in the series. And so it's going to be tight every single game. I just think that home court advantage to the Clippers, I think they'll pull out that game in game seven. And it's not like they're going to have perfect games, but they're going to do enough. And I think it's going to be real close. So I could be wrong. I could absolutely be 100,000% wrong here because, hey, the Spurs, you can never count those guys out. But I like the way the Clippers play. I mean, in game one, they dominated the Spurs. I didn't even think it was going to be. And I thought, like, man, they might end up, you know, kind of blowing them out. But then the Spurs won the next game, which the Clippers should have had, you know, Blake Griffin with the turnover. So I felt, even going to game three, that they were the dominant team until they just got blasted by the Spurs. And but then you look at the game today, and, bro, they came right back. Made plays, they had opportunities in the end, but they just made good plays. So, I mean, it's not going to be – DeAndre Jordan's not going to score 6 points every single, you know, the last three games remaining or two games remaining to win. He's not going to average 6 points. He'll do better. Matt Barnes, he's been struggling all playoffs, so we don't really expect anything except for defensive rebounding, which he's not doing that. I think they might have to think about taking him out of the lineup quick before he becomes a liability. But, yeah, I mean, you look at the Spurs, Timmy's hitting 20. Timmy's averaged about, what, 20-plus points a game? He's actually paying above what he normally does. Kawhi Leonard looked good, but he's not – he wasn't spectacular. Tony Parker, still, to me, going through some issues. And we'll see. You know how I feel about Jumano and the rest. They just turn the ball over. Too many turnovers from them guys. Look at this. Between Patty Mills, Boris Diaw, and Manu Ginobili, they had 10 turnovers just for those three. I mean, you can't win games like that. It's not going to work out. So I said,
They had eight
total, but they had, I think, Manu had three, Patty Mills had one, and the other four just went between Duncan and Parker. I mean, not Parker, Splitter and Danny Green. Splitter, he's just injured. He's not going to be himself. The shooting's not going to be there. He's basically just a space, just filler for momentum, more so than anything else. So.
Yeah, because they had Danny Green. Danny Green was a goose egg, 0-for-6. And
he's the one that's killing them.
Yeah. And Bellinelli played at all.
He did, but, bro, Danny Green's been looking horrible this whole series. He's looked absolutely dreadful the whole series. The only game he did somewhat decent was against the Clippers in game four. The one on, not game four, but the game, was it two? Game three, my bad, Friday night. So,
They'll be all right. Pop will make the adjustments, give more play time to Bellinelli and Matt Bonner to get them some shots up, spread the floor more. Patty Mills, I think he'll be all right. So they'll make the jumpers. They got a deeper team. You know, they pretty much play everybody that's on their team. Like, I think all 12 players played in that game. All 12 players played, and the Clippers, they have – like the shortened lineup, they only play like what, 9 players.
Yeah.
Really, not even 9. 5, 6, 7, 8. is Turkoglu. He only played 1 minute, so he doesn't really play for them. So he played eight players. Crawford, Glenn Davis, and Rivers off the bench.
Yeah, if I'm Doc, I probably would start Turkoglu over Matt Barnes. But then again, Matt Barnes is a good defensive player. Gives hard fouls, so that could be the case with him. That's why he hasn't been in the game. He just fits better, but that's typically what I see. So, and that's the majority of the matchups in the NBA. Anything else you want to add before
stop,
I skate to the NFL?
Stop the match. Somebody throw in the towel, please. With the Wizards and Raptors game. Can we just stop the game, please?
It's just getting
102-70 beginning of the fourth.
They're terrorizing what's going on there. So, anything else to add before I just jump into the NFL here?
I think that's all there is. I didn't talk about the couple awards that happened over the past week. We had a coach for the Hawks got Coach of the Year. And his name, Lewis Williams for the Raptors, he got Sixth Man of the Year.
And there you have it.
Yeah.
That's good. It turns out here, get into the NFL. Of course, you know, right now everybody's training as many, not really start mini camp, but, you know, team workout. And like the part of the Cowboys offseason program, Greg Hardy got into a, you know, argument with Devon Coleman. Wow.
What?
Well, I tell you, you know, Greg Hardy basically is on 10-game suspension so far. He's on the pill for beating up his girlfriend, whatnot, creating some kind of domestic violence. And not too many people really like the fact that there's an issue or like the fact that he got a chance to come in versus what he's actually done. And, I mean, I look at it like this. You know, you beat your wife or you beat her decently. Not really your wife, but your girlfriend at that. And you really didn't lose in the game. Remember, he got paid. He got part of that exemption. So, you know, he got paid last season. Not like he just didn't play on the field, but he still gained $13-plus million. I mean, two seasons you're getting off. Go ahead and just deal with whatever you got to deal with. But I believe he just needs to sit down those 10 games and deal with it amicably. Some players in that locker room will really dig the kind of character that he displays himself to be. So, and turned out ugly in the situation. Of course, you know, the draft comes this week. I believe it's this Thursday. It's going to be pretty good and enticing as far as, like, hey, what do you expect people to go? Yeah, boo, I heard you, Lou. But anyway, you know, you got Melvin Gordon, Trey Waynes. We still don't know what's going to be Winston or Mariota. It's going to be a couple of guys out there trying to put things together. We'll have to see and wait to see how that's going to go. So I expect that to be interested, and I'm going to, you know, be watching. And other news, what's going on there in Philadelphia camp? Sanchez basically said Tebow, another guy to throw at camp. You got to remember, look, Mark Sanchez obviously is not going to be a great supporter of this situation. Why? Because we remember New York City and when it was brought there by Tannenbaum, and you had Rex Ryan there and the whole Tebow mania thing going on with him, basically shattering him mentally. And, hey, here it goes right here. Tebow, another shot to come in, and Mark is somewhat bad-mouthing or saying certain things. See, this is the thing. This is what happened. Jealousy hurts. Mark Sanchez, and I like Sanchez. I'm not going to lie. I do like him, but reality is, man, he proved to me last season. He had a fresh start. He looked a lot better, but he's still a guy that throws too many interceptions in big-time games and turns the ball over. We watched, and we saw what happened, and that's basically he broke down without any pressure being on him at all. Nick Foles was out. He had the reins. He had the ability to go in and show what he had to do, and all he did was just basically turn the ball over and had as many touchdowns as interceptions last season. So he's basically the same guy that he was in New York under a better, easier system that is quarterback-friendly, and he just didn't show up. He didn't look good last season. He didn't look great last season. He looked okay. Now, had he turned them turnovers down and cut that in half, he would have looked great. But you got to look at it from his standpoint. Here he is faced again with a guy that he just can't seem to escape that killed him over there in New York. And here he is coming again, getting about to get slayed again. So we'll see. I'm not going to jump so hard on the Tebow situation because obviously he has a one-year deal, but that's only based on if he makes the roster. Should he make the roster, then we'll have something to talk about. There's also some news in there that, you know, the Eagles were trying to trade away Matt Barkley because basically he doesn't fit the system. As a matter of fact, I don't even know how they drafted him. Didn't make much sense for a Chip Kelly system who runs basically, you know, the spread option to a certain degree. More than any other team in the NFL, they run it. So you figure, okay, I want to get more people that will fit this mold, and obviously that didn't take place with that. So
yeah,
we'll have to watch. Yeah. So, you know, Tebow just another arm, basically. That's what it said. Yeah. Hakeem Nicks goes to the Tennessee Titans. I don't know how I feel about that. Hakeem Nicks was really good. I remember him watching him at Carolina. He looked good for the Giants and basically got traded to the Colts. In Indianapolis, that is Andrew Luck. Didn't really materialize, struggled. Let me tell you, Andrew Luck throws the ball more than anybody else in the league. Had probably the most yards in that perspective, you know, at least top five in the NFL last season. And Hakeem Nicks did not prosper or shine. But, of course, you got T.Y. Hilton and Reggie Wayne in the same offense along with Kobe Fleener. So it didn't necessarily work out and spread out good. So he's coming and he's going there to the Tennessee Titans, and hopefully the Titans, the big news in this, and Tennessee is my team, of course. You know, I'm playing close attention to what's going on there. Should Tennessee Titans, with the second overall pick, trade their pick to San Diego, and we get that one guy, great quarterback, Phillip Rivers, to come to Tennessee, instantly will be a playoff prospect. Won't win the Super Bowl, but we'll definitely get to the playoffs. We get him, it'll be a very, very hard time for just, you know, Andrew Luck to dominate that division because, you know, we both know that, you know, Ken Whisenhunt is a really great quarterback coach, and he brings Phillip Rivers there. He'll tailor his offense for Phillip, and it'll become a good thing. Keem Nicks would be a great asset, and we can probably pick up some other picks or an additional pick to go ahead and bring in another wide receiver. So, ought to be very interesting to watch. I know I'll enjoy what goes on, and hopefully it'll go well. You know, I just hope we get Phillip Rivers. That'll be the greatest thing ever. So, we'll keep a close eye on that, see how that goes. And, and then, of course, you know, in NFL, the next big story, one of the bigger stories is that L.A. is coming up with plans to go ahead and build a stadium and get a football team there. And that's part of the reason why Phillip Rivers is actually leaving San Diego for Tennessee. Doesn't want to move to L.A. And why is that, you say? Because L.A. is the city of sin. Basically, New York and L.A. One's uptight, one's not, but they basically have the same thing going on, right? So, I mean, what it is, basically, and they can go ahead and take Mariota. Mariota's parents, you know, Mariota's from Hawaii, so L.A. would be naturally a better fit for him than probably anywhere else. It's closer to his parents and closer to home for him. So we'll see how it goes.
Could be two teams.
It could be. All right, more than likely, I mean, L.A. was the second largest city in the country. Has a population over 5 million, so it's definitely one of a situation like that. So we're going to see how that works out. I mean, anything else here, Lou? I mean, what do you expect? I know you're a Patriots fan. You lost a lot of defensive talent. They lost Revis. He lost some defensive players. Oh, you got pretty much Logan Mangan. The Wilfork is gone, so you lost some in the interior. How do you think the Patriots will fare next season? I mean, they pretty much average like 12 wins anyway, 12-4, 13-3. That's basically this year. It's going to be a little tougher. I think that conference, you know, the records in that conference has changed dramatically. Like, listen, the Dolphins have got stronger on defense. Buffalo, Rex Ryan and his scheme and the way he plays in that defense is like one of the top. They lost Kiko Alonso, but you get Shady McCoy, right? So it's like they just need somebody who could just somewhat play quarterback, and that'll change. So, we'll see.
Yeah. Patriots, they'll just get another tight end like they always do.
Yeah, more than likely because he doesn't know how to do anything on offense. But one thing and I'm not talking about the Patriots, but I'm talking about the Jets, per se. Mm-hmm. But they play, Rex Ryan just plays the Patriots tough. He just knows how to play them. So, the Dolphins always end up winning one game against the Patriots every year, too. I don't know why, but it just seems to happen that way. The Jets are the toughest. I mean, you got Cromartie and Revis on sitting there in the corner on DB. It's going to be hard to pass on them, so they're going to have to run the ball against them. But then you got Sheldon Richardson and, some tough guys, Quentin Coples, on that defensive line for the Jets. So, listen, the Patriots are going to have a harder time. I expect them to possibly go 12-4, 11-5. It's going to be a tough division, tougher than in most recent years. I expect them teams to really make it difficult for them, make it challenging. Man, anything else you want to add there, Lou?
I keep telling them to please stop this game. They're just putting on the clinic here. It's 78-112. You got Drew Gooden banging three-pointers on him now. So we gotta stop this massacre here. It's illegal right now.
He just send them home and doing them decent, right? Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
Who was talking noise to Paul Pierce? Was it wasn't it Toronto? They was running their mouth.
Yeah.
Then the guy got up there.
Yeah.
The whole city,
the whole Toronto crowd and the GM of Toronto. Which is a bunch of idiots. Yeah, go ahead and talk noise to Paul Pierce. Great. Just give him a reason to make you guys look even worse.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. My whole thing is, it's better to keep your mouth closed if you know you can't do nothing. It's just like a guy that's never fought in his life trying to challenge Mike Tyson. It's no good. I mean, you're just really asking for it. And that's basically what they did. They've taken that team and taken them to the back of the woodshed and beat them with 10 pliers, you know what I mean? That's all that's happening. Getting dinged up for no reason. So I myself would not put my team in that situation. You're revving up the city for failure, so everybody's going to hit this, sidewalk jam, right? Because even look at it, Washington was really the visiting team. Right? They basically were the fifth seed. So here it is. You've already lost home field advantage after they swept you in Toronto. And now you go in here to D.C. and they're on home court. And this is, like you say, almost a 40-point game. It's like, geez. Yeah. 114-79 right now. It's not even close.
They just
blasted them off of the floor.
Yeah, I don't understand fans' logic. This is mostly casual fans that do this, obviously, but I am not going to sit here and thinking booing one of the best clutch players in the game is actually going to help my team win. No, that doesn't work. It never works. It never worked when Isaiah was playing. It never worked when he did to Jordan. It never worked when he did to Kobe. It definitely didn't work when he did to Reggie Miller. Why do you think it's going to work with Paul Pierce?
Well, because, they figure Paul Pierce will just be, in the twilight of his career, sitting on the bench, maybe coming in, putting up 10 points. And all that has happened is that he's doubled that input and doubled that mindset. So now Everybody's looking sick in the face, wondering, what happened? Why did I do that? Yeah, you did it because you were foolish, and we deal with foolishness a certain way.
Yeah.
Now you guys are sitting there looking sick and sick and sick. Triple S, that's what I call it.
Yep.
Yeah, so,
people,
you know,
need to the casuals need to realize, yeah, you get older as a player, you can't do certain things anymore, but the one thing you can always still do is shoot a jump shot. That'll never go away. So Paul Pierce may not be able to drive to the lane.
But that is true, but let's be real about it, man. Casual fans really are just a waste of space. They don't know anything. They basically are just bandwagoners. Whatever's the hottest, they just hop on and think it's cool, right? Right now, you got a million people talking about the Patriots and how much they love them. No, name an offensive lineman and tell me you love them, okay? You really don't know anything. And let's be real about it. Had Marshawn Lynch took the ball in on the goal line, everybody would be going the other way, right? They would have been like, oh, I'm Beast Mode fan. Hey, you better watch out for Seattle. Hey, that's what you would have heard, but, you know, people.
Yeah, beat those scumbag cheating Patriots, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Deflategate and all of that. But anyway, we'll just save that fuel and rocket fuel for the Thursday night. That will be draft night as well. So we will come back, Lou, as always, get a man, and, of course, myself, Marlon Ranger, Sports Dominance, here with the Sports Lounge, letting you guys off easy, give you the nice outro. Have the good rest of the night. Chill. Get ready for the tough day on Monday. Catch you Thursday.